I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to continue this conversation about University of Virginia basketball. Jim Hobgood joins us. He's the co-host of Who's Talking on Sports Radio 910 The Fan. And Gary Hess, our sports guy, is with us. Jim, so you were the UVA basketball captain in what year?
A long time ago, back in the 1970s with Barry Parkhill. But we like to think that we got things started in a positive way. Virginia had not had much success prior to Barry Parkhill's arrival. So we had a little success, and that laid the foundation for the big guy, Ralph Sampson, to come. And that took the program
in the early 80s.
Right, yes. Yeah. Ralph finished in 83.
And so Ralph Sampson led UVA to its first Final Four in 81, and then there was the Cinderella run after Ralph in 84. And now here we are all the way in 2019, and Jim, Gary Hess here, good morning. Just talk about this year's team and this run to the tournament, and as a basketball guy, what's your take on what this Virginia team has accomplished already in this tournament?
Well, it's amazing. It's been an amazing year. I thought going into the year, this team had some, one of its strengths was the versatility. They could go big, they could go small. They obviously have more scoring options than some of the prior Virginia teams have had under Coach Bennett. As far as the tournament is concerned, just some of the thoughts. You know, I was home alone at 3 o'clock on that Friday in the first round watching Gardner Webb, and we dropped behind by 14 in the first half, and like a lot of people, I panicked.
Here we go again.
And I'm just thinking, man, if we lose again to a 16 seed, the program will be forever branded as just, you know, regular season and not postseason. But fortunately, part of the movie script, you know, they rallied, although they were down 6 at halftime in that game, but came back to win by 15. And then since then, we've had what I call the two miracles. Al McGuire, the former Marquette coach, used to say to win the tournament, you probably need to have at least one game that you should have lost. Virginia now has 2. So I don't know what that means into the equation, but certainly the Purdue thing with the tip back and the great pass by Kihei and the shot by Momedy to force overtime. And then I don't even know how you describe the game on Saturday. And clearly you feel sorry for Auburn because that was a double dribble. I explained to somebody this morning, Ty could have hit the ball with one hand to restore the dribble, or he could have picked it up and called timeout. But it's easy to, after the occurrence of the situation, to think what you could have done. But Virginia clearly got a break there, and then, I think there was a foul on the three-point shot. I was thinking, a lot of times if you have a two-point lead, the team that's ahead is fearful. On a three-point shot, that means you lose the game if it goes in. So I think maybe the contest sometimes is a little too much. I think if you have a three-point lead, the coach is always telling you, don't foul the guy because the last thing we want is a four-point play to lose. So the Auburn kid, who I think was the transfer from VCU, right? I can't remember.
Samir Dowdy, that's right.
Yeah, but you feel sorry. I felt sorry for Purdue after the Purdue game. Your heart breaks for Auburn because of the consequences, but you have to feel really happy for the Virginia kids and Coach Bennett to have a chance. And as far as my memory is, I don't know that a team from the Commonwealth has ever played in a national title game before.
Not in Division I, to my knowledge. Yeah. So,
right.
Jim, let me just ask you this. From your perspective, with all the great things Tony Bennett's done at UVA, what does this run mean for him elevating the program, especially after last year losing to the 16 UMBC?
Well, as I say, it's almost a movie script, but I'm sure the people in Hollywood would probably say, it's too much of a fantasy. But I think it probably elevates him to Hall of Fame status, certainly if he wins the game tonight, and maybe it doesn't really matter, getting to the Final Four with the record that he's going to put together. And I also think, you know, optimistically, I don't think this is Tony's last Final Four. I think the recruiting gets a little easier going forward with the success that he's had. And, you know, I think really the run, the paper said something about the run to the Final Four started in 2017. It started back in the spring of 2009 when Craig Littlepage and John Oliver made the incredibly wise decision to bring Tony to Charlottesville.
Real quick, before we let you go, are the Wahoos going to get it done tonight? The top two defensive teams in the country on the floor tonight.
I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking maybe if you give me 50, I'd take it right now. You know, I think baskets are going to be hard to come by. Look for DeAndre Hunter to have a good. He really hasn't had an exceptional night in the tournament. I think this is the kind of game that the NBA kind of talent where you can sort of create your own points, create your own shots may come to the forefront. So, you know, I have to go with the Hoos. I think it's going to be another nail biter. That's why I'm hoping for that miracle number three. Maybe it won't take an absolute miracle. Maybe they can just win
by 2 points in a normal way.
That's it. I'll go for that. But it would be, it's been a great season regardless. But when you get to this point, you get a little greedy. You really would like to win that title.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, well, we'll be watching 920 as tip tonight. Jim Hobgood, the co-host of Who's Talking on Sports Radio 910 The Fan. And hopefully we'll get you tomorrow morning and react to everything. And hopefully we'll be excited and celebrating.
Well, that would be nice. Yeah. Look
forward to it. I got to speak it into existence. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. I knew it was going to be that. That's right. Everybody really
Why
is excited.
Why would it be anything but
anything,
that?
Anything, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody is excited. We've got the tip-off at 9:20 for UVA Texas Tech tonight from Minneapolis. And the pre-show starts here on WRV at what time? Gary Hess, our sports guy, is here in the studio with me. This is like Christmas for you, isn't it?
It's good stuff.
Especially if you've been watching.
If only I can stay awake to the end tonight. That'll be the trick.
UVA fans who have been waiting for this for a long time have got to be excited. Wes McElroy is with them in Minneapolis now. Wes is from Sports Radio 910 The Fan. How you doing, man?
Good, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Okay.
We're good. So I got to ask you right up front, are you running out of ways to describe this miracle run by the Wahoos?
No, I'm actually not, because I've never seen anything like this.
It's unbelievable.
It is, and I've never seen finishes like this. I've never seen – look, you got to look back at the past two Saturday nights. It wasn't just, hey, they won the shot on a buzzer beater, or hey, they won the game on a block shot. The stages. I mean, you go back to the last 5 seconds in regulation against Purdue and the things that had to happen. You got to go back to the last 17 seconds of what happened on Saturday night. So many things have got to happen and break Virginia's way. And you create your own breaks, and Virginia did. But to see these two finishes back-to-back Saturday nights come in almost five-part increments, it's wild. It's just been like, I have no clue what's going to happen tonight, but I can't wait to watch it unfold.
No kidding. You know, going back to the Auburn game, you know, Kyle Guy makes the three-pointer to get him within one. I believe it was 5.9 seconds to go. One of the things that got overlooked was that Kihei Clark got the foul committed without the ball being inbounded, so no time went off the clock. You know, little things like that just added up to the other obvious things that made Saturday night so amazing.
There were so many specific things, and you're right. The specific fouling had to take place. For Guy to make, and that's not an easy three-pointer. That was a turnaround corner jumper three. I mean, that was not just, hey, I got the ball. I got a nice little set here. No, I've got to make the shot. There's obviously the double dribble that was not called, but I add in there that there was possibly a foul not called. But if Auburn doesn't end up fouling on that play for Ty Jerome to get the ball set out of bounds, then, you know, if he gets through and then just chucks up a shot, you don't know if that's going in. I mean, once again, there's sports is a beautiful thing, and sports talk radio is a fun thing of where you do woulda, coulda, shoulda, what if afterwards.
I know.
All the what ifs went Virginia's way.
And you know, the funny thing is, and we won't get too deep into this, but if the foul had been called when he grabbed the jersey, which was before the double dribble, then there's maybe 2.5 seconds instead of 1.5 seconds, and they might run a different play, and the foul never happened. Who knows what happens at that point? So, anyway, what I know for sure is Virginia's playing tonight against Texas Tech. Top two defensive teams in the country. Pretty easy to figure out what kind of game we're going to see tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to see a low-scoring game. This isn't one of those where if you love North Carolina and Duke and a team that gets up the floor, if I had friends in Vegas tonight, I'd probably take the under in this game. But, look, you got to take two teams, and these are great defenses, but they're not only just great defenses. Texas Tech has got some really good players, and you got the Big 12 Player of the Year in Jarrett Culver. But you're right, Gary. Defense is what is the story of this game. And you go through all those defensive metrics and you go through all 300 schools and you're talking about number one and number six in defensive efficiency. You're talking about Virginia allowing their opponents 55 points per game. Texas Tech allows their opponent 58. Texas Tech has taken the past five schools that they've played in the NCAA tournament, and they've given them their worst day on offense. I mean, they've held these other teams to like double digits below what they score. This is two teams that they run different defenses, but they pride themselves on defense, and it's gotten them here. And for all the years of being in Virginia and for the 10 years of covering Tony Bennett, for all these people who said his system doesn't work and it can't work, you've got two coaches that pride themselves on defense playing for the championship tonight while everybody else and all those people who said it couldn't be done, they're sitting home watching like you and me.
Wes, you were around, you were at the Tony Bennett's press conference yesterday, maybe around some of the players. What's the vibe you get around this team going into the game tonight?
Absolutely no different than if I would have seen him in January or February. I mean, if there's nerves and there's nervous energy, it's they're ducks, man. It's going on beneath the surface. They're humble. I mean, Tony Bennett, maybe a little bit more loquacious, but, I mean, for Tony Bennett, who generally, like, he doesn't like the spotlight on him. He doesn't love doing the media. He's a gem on the podium, and he was telling stories yesterday, and they were having fun. But if I would have saw a press conference yesterday, the same press conference in January, I would have known nothing different. They're the same. They hold their composure the same. They're grateful. They stick to their five pillars. They're a humble basketball team. Of course, they're talking about things that they've never talked about before because they've never been here before. And I have, if you go to thefanrichmond.com, I did a quick interview, a quick video interview with Jack Salt, who, you know, is obviously not from America, but talking about learning the magnitude of the Final Four and the national championship and how people go crazy for this. But they're just themselves. And, I think it's in the preparation. This has been a whole year in preparation for this. This team has been to the NCAA tournament. They got so much weight off their shoulders in coming back from double digits against Gardner-Webb and they've been in the tightest positions on the floor. So they're just handling everything like they usually do in Tony Bennett fashion. They're handling everything with class.
Wes, we're up against the clock, but real quick, give me a couple of things to look for Virginia to get done over and above playing the great defense if the Wahoos are going to cut down the nets tonight.
Obviously, the Kyle guys, three-point shooting. You're going to need more DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter stepped up big in the second half, but he scored 10 of his 14 in the second half Saturday night, but they're going to need him for two halves. He's going to have to play like an NBA pick. And something don't lose sight of that happened that Texas Tech does very well, that Virginia did very well Saturday night, block shots. Virginia had 9 block shots. If the defense breaks down, that's a great last line of defense, and can also throw an offense off even more. And Virginia and Texas Tech both have done it very well in this tournament.
Okay, Wes, thank you very much. Great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight. And by the way, Wes's appearance brought to you by the Good Feet Store of Richmond.